So here last week, you saw our hope, peace, and joy melt away to nothing because of the fans. We figured it out. It was the fans. That was not a good combination. So we've got alternate candles here this morning to represent our hope, our peace, and our joy. And later in the service, we'll light the candle of love. But here is a word to call us to worship. God, our request is as old as time and as fresh as this new moment in your creation of time. Come today. Come today, we pray. Let us see your face, and then may our faces shine with your glory. As we bring our sacrifices of praise and worship into your holy place, God, hear our voices. Let us see your face, and then may our faces shine with your glory. Amen and amen. God, this morning we come to you as people with bodies, minds, and spirits. And we pray for the needs that weigh heavy on us, either our own bodies or the bodies of people we know and love or are concerned for. We pray for those suffering with pain or sickness, for those who are experiencing failure of systems of their bodies for whatever reason. And then, of course, in this moment, for all those who find themselves suffering with COVID especially, but with anything that relies on medical care. And then we pray too for those who care for our bodies, doctors and nurses and technicians and cleaning staff and people who feed us when we're in hospital and all of the people in between. And our minds. We are people who are sometimes curious and always learning and trying to figure out how things fit together. And we pray for those who are struggling in that in some way right now. We pray for anyone with mental health concerns, which is all of us to a certain degree. God, teach us how to take care of our mental well-being, not just our physical well-being. And then teach us how to look at those who struggle with compassion and empathy and grace. We pray especially for those for whom the holiday season is hard. Give us grace and creativity and an ability beyond ourselves to notice what's going on for other people. And then our spirits. Oh God, would you meet us in this season as we wait for you? Would you surprise us by your coming? Not just the coming of the baby or the promised coming of Jesus in the future, but would you come to us and be Emmanuel, God with us, in our homes and in our workplaces, in our schools when we go back there, in all the things that we find ourselves doing, would we encounter you? For those of us whose spirits are running low, are feeling dry or, yeah, would you shine light into our spirits? Would your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be our comfort? And would you surprise us with your joy? For the the needs of people around the world, whether they be body, mind, or spirit, or some combination. We hold now the places and the situations that are weighing heavily on us before you. For many of them, we don't even know how to pray, and so we just say, Lord, in your mercy. Come, Lord Jesus. We offer our prayers now and ask that you would help us to hear your voice, God, in the word that we will hear, in Ron's introduction and teaching to us, in the text itself, and that we would encounter you in your word and in your people. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. And the people said,
well, good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for new candles. Last Sunday, as I sat on the edge of my seat over there watching the candle of hope burn down, I was losing hope as it approached the fabric there. So we can relax. We come, as the children sang, to our last Sunday of Advent, the time of waiting and preparation for the climax of Christmas. On our journey, we've been practicing holy listening. This is a discipline that has long been in the church. It's an attempt to reduce the busyness and noise and rush of this Christmas season. We have taken time in our services to pause, to be silent, and to be reflective as we listen to the scripture readings appointed for each of the Sundays. And although a new practice for many of us and definitely un-Baptist to most of us, those who I have talked with have generally found it refreshing and meaningful. Personally, I've had a bit of a challenge keeping all the pieces in this time together in a whole. We have Old Testament scriptures, we had Christmas tales the other night, we have the lighting of the candle, we have the color purple as prominent during this time of preparation. How do we keep all of that together? And so, in my mind and imagination, I've used holy imagination along with holy listening in an attempt to keep everything together. The main image that has been in my mind is that of one of those beautiful, large stained glass windows that you see at the front of some of those majestic cathedrals in Europe. In my picture, there is at the bottom of this stained glass, written in Latin because it sounds far more holy, are the words, Parate Viema Domine. Prepare the way of the Lord. And in the center of this display is a large round glass shape, which in my mind is still hidden in shadows because it's not yet Christmas. But I can just barely make out the outline of a rustic manger, a stone cattle trough which is still being used to feed the livestock. And around this center are four other smaller panels. And each of these represent the three themes that are part of this time of preparation that relate to the children's song that we heard and that relate to the four candles that we have lit. The first panel is of hope. Hope for now and hope for the future. The prophet Jeremiah encouraged the Jews who were in exile to seek peace and prosperity in the city where God had sent them. The second panel was the candle of peace. Peace that comes from right relationships with God and our neighbors. Here we saw the prophet Ezekiel speaking to a people very much in exile about God's power to breathe new life into dead bones, to bring life to old, dry, forgotten, or desperate situations. And last week, as I watched that candle burn down, we focused on joy. The prophet Isaiah said to the Jews, "For you will go out of exile with joy and be led forth by the Lord with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands, and these will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign of his mercy, which will not be cut off." And today, we lit the candle of love. The design in the fourth panel makes it obvious that hundreds of years have passed since Isaiah. In fact, the Jews did return to Jerusalem. They built their temple. They even experienced a brief period of independence before they were conquered by the Romans. In fact, by the time that the fourth panel has been completed, Jerusalem has yet again fallen into ruin. The temple has been destroyed and the Jews have been scattered throughout the known world. The fourth panel also shows that even the reckoning of time has changed and moved from before Christ to Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. Christ has come, and quite contrary to Jewish expectations, he has arrived in humble circumstances, taught simple yet profound stories, performed miraculous signs. He has been crucified, dead, and buried, and has risen from the grave. He has been seen physically by hundreds of eyewitnesses, and he has ascended into the heavens, and his spirit has empowered a small group of students to go into all the world and preach the good news that the rule of God has begun in a new and powerful way. Within 30 years of Jesus' resurrection, this message of divine love has spread throughout Asia Minor and Greece, and even to the capital of the Roman Empire. The followers of the way of Christ have endured persecution and have transcended their Jewish roots. Now local churches are made up of a wide and diverse fellowship. Different ethnicities, disparate social positions, various economic circumstances, and widely different cultural backgrounds that know nothing of the Jewish roots. At this time in history, the Christian church needed to retell the gospel of Jesus in a way that was more understandable for the Gentile believers who did not know the Jewish roots of the new faith. And into this situation, around 100 CE, the Apostle John wrote a brilliant, unique, and insightful account of the life of Jesus. And to accomplish this task, John was inspired to choose a concept that was known to both Jewish and Greek audiences: the idea of the Word. To the Jews, the Word was not the scriptures, but the very essence, power, and person of Yahweh, the activity and force of God's will and purpose, the personal and spiritual center of Yahweh's existence. To the Greeks, the Word was the Logos, the wisdom, the reason, the principle of order, the eternal mind of God, which was the first thought of everything that was created. So in our reading today, we see a reflection of the Jewish story of creation and Greek philosophical language. We catch a glimpse of the Word of God and the mind of God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus and showing us God's love, indwelling among us, teaching us and empowering us with the very Spirit of God. As Andrea comes to do the first reading, I invite you just to close your eyes and to listen. Maybe catch a glimpse of the whole stained glass window, maybe of one of the panels, especially the panel of love that we're looking at today. But just remain in silence and reflect for a moment on this reading.
From John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a father's only son, full of grace and truth.
During the second reading, I invite you to again sit in silence and to listen. And maybe a word or a phrase or an image or maybe even a small piece of stained glass will be highlighted for you. And after the reading, you're invited to share what has been brought to your attention.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
You may share if you wish. All people.
Light shines in the darkness.
The light shines in the darkness. The Word. Everything. Darkness doesn't extinguish the light. Life for all people. Home. Full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. Well, let's hear it for a third time. And this time, let us again be silent and reflective. And maybe try and see if there is an idea or thought or image or symbol that you can take with you this week as we celebrate Christmas. Something that you can leave the service today that will encourage you and give you hope and peace and joy or love.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let us pray. Our Father of hope and peace and joy and love. The marvelous things that you have created. The treasured relationships your mercy and the sending of your Son, Jesus. May the preparations of our hearts and our spirits allow us to truly celebrate the true meaning of Christmas in the next week. We pray in your name, amen.
Thank you. And thanks, Ron. One of the things you all did collectively in the last week or two is you both accepted invitations when I asked you to do stuff, and then sometimes you offered to do things and then just patiently waited for me to figure out that I needed to say yes. So thanks for that. And yeah. That's been a gift, and I hope, too, that we're doing that for one another. I know that it happens as well. So as we go now, we began by asking that we would see God's face and that then our faces would shine with God's glory. So like coming close to a candle in a dark room illuminates our faces, may every tiny glimpse we get of God incarnate, Jesus, so light up our faces that we might shine through little deeds and big deeds, through acts of kindness and cups of water given in Jesus' name. Go in the name of the one who is grace. The grace of Jesus Christ. Go in the love of God the Father, and go in the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit.